Well, for something different today, I want to talk to you about good news. That's right. I say, Pastor, is there only one day in the church year we can talk about good news? Well, I guess we can talk about good news a lot, but today I want it to be unmistakable that today is a day where we're going to focus on good news. And here's the good news, that you were made for joy. That's right. You weren't created to worry. You weren't created to think dark thoughts. You were created for joy. There's a woman who had a great dream of going to England and taking a railroad adventure. When she got there, she was from the U.S. She saved up her money, and the day finally came. She flew all the way to London, spent the night in a hotel, and then the next morning, she left her hotel and went to the railroad station. She got onto the train, and the train took off, and she was off on her adventure. But it didn't take too long before the woman started to worry. She started to complain. The temperature wasn't exactly what she was hoping it would be in the train. The windows were kind of foggy. She was really hoping for a better view. I mean, after all, she came all the way from America. She started rearranging her luggage so that she could be a bit more comfortable. And before she knew it, she reached her destination. And she met a friend at the destination, and she walked up to her friend and greeted her. And she said this, "If I'd have known I was going to arrive so soon, I wouldn't have wasted so much of my time worrying and complaining." Think about that. It might be a story about us as we go through our lives. We can spend a lot of our time worrying, complaining, talking about how life is not really the way it should be, it ought to be, how it could be for us. So let me say it to you again. You were made for joy. You weren't made to fret and worry. You were made for God's love. There was a poet by the name of Carl Sandburg, okay? And it's the story that he wrote about children. He said, "You were made for joy, child. The feet of you were carved for that. The ankles of you run for that. The rise of the rain, the shift of wind, the drop of a red star on a far water rim, an endless catalog of shouts and laughters, silent contemplations that you made from day to day for joy, child, for joy." Well, today I want to invite you to take a look in the Bible, and if you're able, I don't know, Ellie, are you able to flash up the Philippians passage on the screen? If you don't have a Bible, it's on page 982. It's chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And I thought we would just read that aloud together with each other. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, one of the amazing things about this piece of scripture was that Paul wrote it. And Paul wrote this scripture while he was in prison. One commentator said that as Paul wrote this, he was chained to a Roman guard. Can you imagine? That Paul was talking about rejoicing. He was talking about being happy. He was talking about not being anxious. And all the while, he is in prison. Now, trade places with Paul for a moment. Would that be you? You see, Paul had a unique perspective on life that allowed him to recognize that when you are in the center of the will of God, you can really put up with a whole lot of bad news because the best news is right in your heart. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that robs us of our joy? Do you worry about the future at all? How many of you remember a newspaper columnist by the name of Ann Landers? Would you raise your hand? Okay, it's the older folks who know. Okay, Ann Landers wrote an advice column in the newspaper that ran for 47 years, okay? In a month's time, she would receive something like 10,000 letters describing a problem that she might give her advice to, okay? And Ann Landers was, I would say, a wise person. Here's a few quotes that Ann Landers is known for. She said, opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. This one's a good one for me. Don't accept your dog's admiration as conclusive evidence that you are wonderful. And every trouble is an inevitable part of life. And repeat to yourself the most comforting words of all, this too shall pass. Well, Ann Landers was interviewed and she was asked what she thought the number one problem that people have. And she said that people are afraid of a number of things. She said people are afraid of losing their health, they're afraid of losing their wealth, and they're afraid of losing loved ones. She says, in addition, some people are just afraid of everything. And true enough, there is. And sometimes, it's not always the big things, but little things cause us to get tied up in knots. Even when the little things can be worked out, given the right amount of time and solutions that we can apply to them. And so I want to ask ourselves, what is robbing us of joy and causing anxiety? Do you remember the old black and white movie called It's a Wonderful Life? Okay. John Ortberg is a pastor, and he was telling about a newspaper article about this movie, It's a Wonderful Life. When It's a Wonderful Life appeared in 1946, guess what? It wasn't received very well. It really wasn't. It took a while for that movie to catch on. And it wasn't until the baby boomers came around and identified with the main character, whose name was George Bailey. Now, George Bailey was a person who went to Bedford Falls and returned to Bedford Falls after his education, but he didn't want to be in Bedford Falls. You see, Bedford Falls was what he wanted to get away from. But there he was, stuck at a very small bank in a town that he really didn't appreciate, and he really felt his life was amounting to nothing. And people sometimes take a look at their life and say that my life isn't really amounting to what I really want it to add up to. And so people lose their joy when they take a look at themselves and they compare it to some other kind of picture that they have for their self. And we begin to lose our joy when we start to focus on those things that we don't have, and when our situations aren't as perfect as we would like them to be. Because life doesn't always go according to our plans. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this one, okay? But just think in your own head. How many of you watch Hallmark or Lifetime TV shows? Okay? There's a predictable pattern in those shows, okay? And it usually goes something like this. A person starts off in transition, and they're in between something and something else, and then circumstances arise, and then their life falls apart, okay? There's a crisis of some kind that develops. And then, after the crisis, things work out, okay? And then, by the end of the movie, life is the way it should be. And there's a certain comfort in those kinds of shows, because when you take a look at your life, you know, you say, well, maybe my life could be like that, you know? It winds up, you know, everything is tied in a bow, everything is wonderful. But it doesn't always end that way. Everyone feels good in the end, but sometimes life and reality present different kinds of challenges for us. And maybe it's because we compare ourselves to some unrealistic thing. There's a writer by the name of Faith Popcorn. What an interesting name. She says the internet has made us take a look at ourselves by comparing ourselves too much. That we compare ourselves by comparing our salaries that we earn, and that comes back to us and it makes us feel about who we are and how that makes us feel and relate. Sometimes we compare our children to other people's children and say, oh yes, my children are successful, they're doing this and that. Or young parents, it's nice to say, yeah, by 6 months, my children could say so many words, you know, how many words could your child say, you know? But all this comparison isn't really healthy for us. As a matter of fact, it creates an epidemic of anxiety and insecurity. Do you remember what the angel said to the shepherds who were watching over the Bethlehem flocks? Their first words were, "Fear not." You see, God has a message for us. He doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to be afraid of our future, because God holds the future. As a matter of fact, because God came to us at Christmas time, we can have hope. We don't have to be afraid. And we don't have to feel that we aren't measuring up, or that God is comparing us to other people to the left and to the right of us. You see, when God decided to send us His Son Jesus, It wasn't a comparison thing at all, because he saw that we all suffer from the same root problem, sin. And because we have this sin problem, it means that we have difficulty in our relationship with God. We so quickly turn away from Him. And because of sin, we have difficulty in our relationships with other people around us. It causes us friction. That's what sin does. But there's another element of sin, and that is how it makes us feel about ourselves, and how it turns in on ourselves, and how we get filled with anxiety. We begin to compare ourselves with other people. That's the work of sin in us. So the angels said to those shepherds, "Fear not." But the second thing he said was, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." You see, Christmas wasn't designed to bring anxiety into our lives. It was made to bring us joy. And yet, if we take an honest look at this time of the year, guess what? People are filled with anxiety. They are. Maybe for a lot of different reasons, you know, getting ready for Christmas, meeting people that, you know we might be kind of stressed out about. Well, anyway, God wants us to have this kind of joy. Any of you hear a pastor out there? His name is Pastor Tony Evans. He's a black pastor, an African-American pastor from Texas. He's on the radio. He's written a number of books. Nobody? Okay, one hand. Okay, that's all. Okay. You know, I asked the 8 o'clock service, only one hand went up. Well, anyway, he's good. Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans, look him up. You'll be blessed. Anyway, he told about a time that he was visiting New York City, and it was in 2003. And what happened in 2003 is that New York City experienced a blackout. Can you imagine all of Manhattan being total blackness? You know, imagine you're up on a 33rd floor of a building, and, you know, what would you do in the darkness? You know, you wouldn't feel good at that particular point in time. Well, the electricity was out, the trains were out, the subways were out, the airports were shut down. Tony was around there, and in the midst of all this blackness, he happened to see one place that was lit up. It was a restaurant. And so he went in, and people are having a great time. You know, there was music there. There was fine food being served. And he went to a waiter and said, you know, everything is dark. Why is it so lit up and bright in here? And he says, well, when this place was made, we decided to have a generator backup system in our place. And he says, so when it's dark out there, it's going to be light in here. And he says, there's a lesson that we can learn from that. And the lesson is that no matter how dark it is on the outside of life, we have the light of Jesus Christ in our hearts right now. So we don't have to succumb to our circumstances. We can know the kind of joy that Paul talks about. Rejoice in the Lord. And he says, you know, it's not just an ordinary kind of rejoicing, but rejoice in the Lord. That is where your joy is going to be, in the Lord. It may not be rejoicing in your circumstances, but you can rejoice in the Lord. And this is the kind of joy that makes a difference for you and me. It's an internal joy, and it doesn't depend on what happens on the outside. Here is the reason that we can have light and hope in this time of the year, this third Sunday in what we call Advent. We don't have to worry about our future because God has taken care of our future. He really has. God is in control. And you don't have to worry about disappointing your family or your friends. Just let them know that you love them. That's all you have to do. And the greatest gift that you can give them is to share them your faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that is the gift of Christmas. I want to close with the words of Paul. And I often close with the words of Paul anyway in this scripture passage because, you know, have you ever noticed how pastors end a sermon and say, and now may the peace of God which passes human understanding? Well, that comes from this very passage in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and pray.